we have heard of children dying as a result of contracting strep A. So this next item is not to, I suppose, to scare people or to worry people, but to inform people so we can keep our eyes out for the signs and symptoms. Dr. Kieran O'Farrey, of course, general practitioner, joins us on the programme now. Kieran, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, okay. What is strep A?
Yeah, so group A streptococcus is a bacteria, and about 15 to 20% of us have it in our throats, and it isn't causing any problem. And it's a common source of infections, particularly in children, and it can cause a host of different infections, many of them mild, predominantly strep throat, a thing called scarlet fever, infections like impetigo or cellulitis. But obviously we're hearing a lot about it at the moment because of this rare complication that it sometimes causes, called invasive group A strep. And that's when group A strep becomes predominant in areas of the body where it shouldn't, like the lungs or the bloodstream.
Okay, so, I mean, can we do anything to prevent that? Because, of course, we've very sadly learned of the passing of eight children in England. Now, of course, England's a population of 70 million. So I don't know, and this is in no way to try and minimize that. It's a terrible situation, but just to get a sense of, is that more deaths from strep A than we might ordinarily expect?
Yeah, obviously these tragedies are what's brought it to attention. And what we know is that the overall cases of strep A infections in the United Kingdom has increased. Okay. And we do see that in winters. And if you look at the winters over the last few years, they have seen spikes. And overall, the case numbers have increased again this year. And part of that, again, is about potentially a lack of immunity that's been built up in children over the pandemic. However, what we're seeing is that group A, invasive group A infections, as a proportion of overall group A infections, is not increasing. So if you have more group A infections in the population, more people unfortunately will get this severe type of infection. But as you said, these numbers are incredibly rare. And what we're talking about are figures from the UK. I got the figures from Ireland, actually, just there this morning. So we have weekly Health Protection Surveillance Centre reports. And in Ireland, invasive group A streptococcus is a notifiable disease, so they are notified. However, the milder forms like scarlet fever are not, so we don't get those figures. But in the last week that we have figures for, that's the 26th of November, there were three reported cases of invasive group A strep in Ireland, and all of those were in adults, not children. And so far this year, we've had 55 notified cases of group A, invasive group A strep in Ireland, and that compares to 33 for the same period last year. So there is an increase, but obviously we're seeing an increase in all types of viral and respiratory infections this year compared to last year.
And if we look at the reasons why, given in Britain, you know, the lack of sort of interaction amongst children, it's not going to mirror exactly here, because everybody's response to COVID was somewhat different at different times, opening and closing at different times, and children mixing in different ways. So it's not really, we can't say necessarily, well, what exactly we see in Britain, we're going to see here.
No, absolutely. And I suppose we don't have that information here as of yet. Obviously, these concerns have been highlighted in the UK and now more recently in Northern Ireland. And that's what's brought it to attention here. And obviously, if we're seeing issues in Northern Ireland, there's a high probability that you'll see similar issues here in the Republic.
And I'm really conscious when talking about this, new parents or not so new parents, myself and yourself, we're talking, I can't remember the name of what we were talking about now.
RSV.
RSV, thank you very much. Not so long ago. And now we're talking about this, and people, you know, and we're talking about, you know, energy costs, that people might feel just this weight of bad news on top of them. So we both want to be proportionate in this, Kieran. And this is about just giving people the power to look out for signs and to get preventative measures when they're needed, rather than to be fearful and scared that something is necessarily going to happen to your child.
Absolutely. And I think, I suppose, one of the big messages that I could give here today is that most children who have sore throats are viral infections. They tend to improve themselves. And obviously, as a GP, more and more talk in the media or anywhere about increased infections and more concern tends to increase fear amongst parents and increase attendances with us. And what we don't want is to take away from parents that ability to manage sick children at home and know, but I suppose what we're trying to do is inform them when they should be seeking medical attention and when that's necessary.
Right, so if a child has a high fever, ordinarily people will give them Calpol or something, and that, you know, you'll see highs and lows in the temperature. If the temperature stays consistently high, even with medication, is that an indication? And if so, what else would you need to be looking for with that?
Yeah, I suppose the big issue here is that these type of infections are difficult to differentiate from all types of children's infections. So the important thing really is when an unwell child needs to be seen. And as you said, if a child has a persistent fever that isn't responding in a way that you'd expect to Calpol or Nurofen, or a fever that isn't responding over a period of time, that's an important feature. I suppose other features that are important to watch out for in children is if your child is getting worse, if your child is feeding or eating much less than normal, if your child is dry nappies for more than kind of 12 hours or showing other signs of dehydration, or if you've got a small child, a baby under 3 months with a high fever of over 38, or if a child is very tired or unusually irritable, they're all important signs to watch out for.